Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Mystery in this hour, later on the adventures of Mr. and Mrs. North. But first, based on Agatha Christie's famous character, it's the adventures of Hercule Poirot, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from July 19, 1945, called The Deadest Man in the World.
Time and the little gray cells. These will always catch the criminal.
Agatha Christie's Poirot. From the thrill-packed pages of Agatha Christie's unforgettable stories of corpses, clues, and crime, Mutual now brings you, complete with bowler hat and magnificent mustache, your favorite detective, Hercule Poirot, starring Harold Huber in The Deadest Man in the World.
Mr. Poirot, oh, thank heaven you're in. I was afraid that... Please close the door quickly. That's better. Thank you. He may have followed me if he knows that I came to you.
Mademoiselle, you have the advantage of me. You know my name. I do not know yours. But no matter. You seem to be in trouble. I have found that a cup of tea is...
Oh, no, no, I mustn't stay. We haven't time.
Mademoiselle...
Shepherd.
Shepherd. Mademoiselle Shepherd, what you have said is intriguing, but confusing. If you want my help...
I'm sorry. I haven't made anything clear, have I? You see, Derek killed my dog.
Mademoiselle... Are you asking me to investigate the death of a dog?
Oh, no, no, you don't understand. I know I'm telling this badly, but...
Perhaps it is my fault, mademoiselle, for being impatient and hastening to conclusions, eh?
You see, I live at Manhattan. You've probably never heard of it.
A small suburb of New York, about 37 minutes by train from the Long Island Station.
Oh, you know it then?
No, no, a small hobby of mine. I read timetables.
Oh, well, I live there with my Uncle James.
Pardon, mademoiselle. But if my memory does not betray me, James Shepherd is a famous name. Is he not called...
The luckiest man in the world. Yes, that's Uncle James.
I have often asked myself if the newspapers were not wrong to call him lucky. I myself would have them change it to the shrewdest man in the world.
What makes you say that?
A simple deduction. Any man who wins the grand prize in the Dublin sweepstakes 40 years ago takes all his winnings and boldly breaks the bank at Monte Carlo, and then, mademoiselle, and then has never gambled since. Ha ha, there is a man who makes good use of his little gray cells.
I suppose some people might look at it that way, but others say that Uncle James is tight.
Well, no matter. Was it your uncle who sent you to see me? Is he also concerned about the death of this dog?
Oh, no, Uncle James mustn't know anything about this. He's very ill, his heart. If he found out what was hanging over me, I'm afraid it would kill him.
I see.
Everything was all right until about a year ago. Uncle James was raising his rose, and we were all very happy. And then Derek Redfield took the house next to ours. He was, well, he was young and attractive.
And you are also young and attractive, and so you fell in love. Eh bien, that is only natural, mademoiselle.
Yes, but what happened next isn't. Derek is, oh, he's charming, Mr. Poirot, but he was insanely jealous. I noticed it before we became engaged, but he was just difficult then. After we became engaged, well... It was impossible.
And so you broke the engagement and returned his ring.
How did you know?
Mademoiselle, that is obvious. You tell me you are in difficulty. You tell me you were engaged. And yet I see no ring on your hand. Voila, you have given it back.
You're right, but that's what started all this. Derek is going to kill me.
Oh, come now, mademoiselle, you are not serious.
I was never more serious in my life.
Ah, mademoiselle, if we were to suspect every young man who threatened to kill his loved one when the affairs of the heart went badly, poof! Half the population would be in jail.
And what about the dog? What about Taffy? He said he'd kill Taffy, and he did.
But, mademoiselle, what makes you so certain your dog was killed?
This. I knew you wouldn't believe me, so I brought it along. This is the meat, or part of it, that poor Taffy found in the garden last night. He ate it and died. It's horrible. Just smell it, Mr. Poirot.
Yes. Yes, it is unmistakably poisonous. I confess this puts a different aspect on the affair.
Then you will come down to Manhattan and help me.
No, mademoiselle.
But why not? Surely you believe me. He told me he'd kill Taffy as a warning. He knew I loved Taffy with all my heart, and he poisoned him. I'm frightened, Mr. Poirot. You must protect me.
Mademoiselle, I am not a guard for the body.
Oh, but you must, I tell you. You must.
Could you not go away for a little while?
Oh, no use. He'd follow me. Anyway, I can't leave Uncle James. Oh, Mr. Poirot.
Have you spoken to the police about this?
No, no, they wouldn't help me. I was depending on you. I thought you'd do something. Seems funny that somebody can be killed. Somebody can know she's going to be killed. Nobody will help her. Doesn't that seem funny to you, Mr. Poirot?
Excuse me, mademoiselle. I had to do that. Hysteria is not only unpleasant, but it also accomplishes nothing.
I'm sorry.
Perhaps a cigarette. I myself find they have a singularly soothing... Pardon. Hello, hello?
Mr. Hercule Poirot?
Speaking?
This is a warning. If you know what's good for you, stay away from Elaine Shepherd.
Who is this? Mademoiselle, Hercule Poirot has changed his mind. You may expect me at Manhattan this evening.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Poirot.
No thanks, mademoiselle. I do not like people who kill dogs. And above all, I do not like to be threatened.
Derek, my darling.
Anybody see you?
Not a soul. I left the house the back way. You know no one ever comes here. Oh, Derek, why couldn't you come back with me on the train?
Are you crazy? We mustn't be seen together now. That'd ruin everything. Just when we have it all in our grasp.
All right, darling. You know best. Everything went just as you said it would. I was afraid you wouldn't see him pull up the shade.
I knew he might prove difficult, but I was positive that phone call would get him. The clever, clever Monsieur Poirot.
He'll be here this evening.
Sure, just the way I figured it. The servants will be out tonight, and the luckiest man in the world will soon be the deadest man in the world. And we'll have the money.
What about Anne?
Oh, he probably left her a few thousand, but what's the difference to us? We can afford to be generous. There's millions there.
But Anne's his adopted daughter. He's terribly fond of her.
Yes, I know, but Anne's only 7 years old, and you're his niece, his own flesh and blood. You'll see. He's left practically all of it to you.
Yes. I hope you're right, Derek.
What's the matter?
I know we've been thinking about this for a long time, Derek, but the doctors did say that Uncle James doesn't have long to live. Couldn't we...
No. We've been waiting a year now, and his luck's still holding. We might go on waiting for another 10. You don't want that, do you?
No, but...
We want that money now, Elaine. Now, when we're young enough to enjoy it.
Oh, Derek. Are you sure nothing can go wrong?
There isn't a chance in the world for anything to go wrong. Unless you slipped up somewhere today.
Oh, I did everything you told me to. Only...
Only what?
Oh, I don't know.
Ah, you're just nervous. Perot's coming down, isn't he?
Yes.
Then that means he's fooled. I've got everything all set. You know what you have to do when you get back to the house, huh?
I know. I've been through it a million times.
That's a girl. When Monsieur Perot arrives to stop me from killing you, we'll make him an accessory to another murder.
Yeah, buddy. Shepherd joint.
A thousand thanks.
Okay, but it's all the same to you. I'd rather have one tip.
And that, too.
Oh, Monsieur Poirot, come in. You don't know how glad I am to see you.
Mademoiselle, it is a great pleasure to receive such a hearty welcome.
There's a deep, dark plot behind my welcome.
I suspected as much.
Yes. You see, tonight is the servants' night out. I didn't want you to run away because you'd have to put up with my cooking.
But, mademoiselle, that will be a pleasure, if I may help.
You?
But people who have had the pleasure of sampling the cooking artistry of such famous chefs as Escoffier, Oscar, and the immortal Monsieur de Gouy, these people, mademoiselle, say there is yet one greater chef.
Who?
Hercule Poirot. Oh,
then I'm doubly glad to have you. Oh, there's Uncle's phonograph. That means he's awake. Wouldn't you like to go upstairs and meet him? That is, if you don't mind climbing three flights.
Oh, I should be delighted, but did you not tell me that it would upset him to know that I am in the house?
Oh, don't worry about that. I'm going to tell a little white lie. Now, don't you be surprised at anything I might say.
On that score, be at ease, mademoiselle. I have come to expect extraordinary things from you.
Uncle James? This is Mr. Poirot.
Mr. Poirot, my Uncle James.
I've heard of you, Mr. Poirot. Wait until I turn this phonograph off, and then you can ask me some questions.
Questions, monsieur?
Sure. And the only reason I can see for a famous detective like you coming to Manhattan is that you suspect me of murdering someone. All right. Fire away.
No. I assure you, monsieur, my visit has no such purpose.
Then you're here to find out how I broke the bank at Monte Carlo. You'd be surprised how many people want to know.
Well, that of a surety I would love to know. But I am certain that that is something beyond my poor powers of discovery, eh?
You're just as smart as they say you are, and I like it. So I'll tell you how I did it. I was just lucky as the devil.
Now, Uncle, Mr. Poirot really came down because he heard about your roses. He's interested in gardening.
Well, of course he is. Any smart man would be. I tell you, Mr. Poirot, the roses are all right. Of course, not as fine as they used to be when I was able to get out and tend to them myself. Now, my greatest pleasure is playing records on this phonograph.
And a very fine machine.
Mr. Poirot is also a good cook, or so he says. He's going to help me with the dinner.
And so I am, mademoiselle. Now, what do we have?
Well, there's a duckling.
With a sauce bigarade. I insist on it.
If you know how to make it.
But of course.
And some string beans. But I can take care of those. You just boil water and...
No. It is a sacrilege. You must not destroy the flavor. They must be steamed gently, mademoiselle. And
all right, you win. Come along and show me.
I will indeed, mademoiselle. Directly after I have my bath, I will make a sauce bigarade that would make Escoffier himself jealous. Mademoiselle, I thank you for a magnificent dinner. Superb.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. And the sauce bigarade?
A masterpiece. I have never prepared it better.
I hope you didn't mind my asking Derek over after dinner.
No, I did not mind, but I do not see what you hope to accomplish.
I know it's probably silly, but if Derek sees that you're actually here, he'll realize that I'm serious and leave me alone.
Well, I shall not threaten him, mademoiselle. Threats are useless.
No, there he is. No, don't bother. I'll let him in.
I got your message. I came right over. Does it mean you forget? Who's this?
May I present Mr. Hercule Poirot? This is Derek Redfield.
Poirot? Well, if you did this to impress me, Elaine, you've certainly succeeded. I've heard of you, Mr. Poirot.
And I of you, monsieur.
Yes, I know. I can just imagine what Elaine's been telling you. You must think I'm a pretty bad sort of guy, but... You really got me in a spot, Elaine. How about a little drink to sort of help me out, huh?
Would you like something, Mr. Poirot? A little sherry or port or something stronger?
Port will do excellently, mademoiselle.
Then if you'll just press that button next to your chair, the maid will bring it. I'm too lazy to move.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose Elaine's told you how I made a complete fool of myself and scared her half to death, Mr. Poirot. But I hope you can realize how it is when a fellow's in love.
Mademoiselle, it has just occurred to me. There is no maid to bring the port unless she has already...
Of course. I completely forgot how stupid of me. It's only a little after 9. Servants won't be back until 11. I'll get it.
Hey, what did you ask me over for, to ignore me? I was hoping that maybe we could straighten everything out tonight.
I'll tell you exactly why I called you when I come back.
Ah, the danse macabre, eh? Monsieur Shepard seems to have a rather morbid taste in music.
Look, Mr. Poirot, you can ask me any questions you like, but I've got to convince you that I don't mean any harm to Elaine.
Tell me, monsieur, you did kill her dog?
Well, yes, but...
Here we are. I hope you'll find the port to your liking, Mr. Poirot.
Elaine, I just admitted that I killed Taffy. But I only did it because I loved her. You know, sometimes you want to hurt the person you love.
Derek, I asked Mr. Poirot to come down here to show you that I'm serious. When I tell you, I never want to have anything to do with you again. I can never forgive the way you've acted. And if you make any more threats, Mr. Poirot will know how to deal with it.
But Elaine, if you'll only listen...
I have nothing more to say to you, Derek. Oh, Uncle's turned off the Victrola. What time is it, Mr. Poirot?
It is 9:15, mademoiselle.
I'd better run upstairs and see if Uncle wants anything. Good night, Derek.
But Elaine...
I said good night.
Mr. Poirot, I'm desperate. Maybe you can understand the way I feel. Would you talk to her and put in a good word for me?
I am afraid, monsieur, that I would find it slightly ridiculous for me to plead the suit of a man who terrifies a lady to such a degree that she seeks my services to protect herself from him.
But I...
Sacre bleu! Mademoiselle! Mademoiselle!
He's fallen out of the window. He's dead.
Hercule Poirot. And yours, my little one?
Your name is funnier than mine. I'm Anne, Anne Shepherd.
Ah, then you are the sister of Mademoiselle Elaine.
Oh, no, Elaine's my cousin. Not really, you know, because I'm adopted.
Ah, yes, I see. Your father was...
Do you think Daddy will be away long? He told me this morning that he went away.
As to that, I could not say, but...
How did your mustache get to grow so long? Daddy has a mustache, but not one like that.
Ah, ma petite, very few men have. How long have you been living with your daddy?
Oh, a long, long time. But you haven't told me whether your mustache is real.
I assure you, my little one, it is real. Just like your hair.
Oh, you have to brush your mustache then, like I have to with my hair?
Oh, yes, indeed. One has to take care of a mustache, you know.
You show me how you brush it now?
I would like to, ma petite, but I have not the time.
What is ma petite?
It is French. It means my little one.
Daddy comes back. I think I'm going to learn French.
You love your daddy, eh?
I should say so. Are you going to live with us now?
Perhaps for a little while.
How long?
I do not know. It depends, you see, my little one.
Why? Is it because of the noise last night?
Do you like fairy tales?
Oh, yes. Sometimes I tell them to myself. Go for a walk in the woods, and I make them up.
Oh, but how that is nice, eh? Perhaps you would tell me one sometime, eh?
Oh, no, I'd rather have you tell me one. I like you.
And I like you, my little one.
And tell me the story about the Snow Queen.
Oh, alas, that is a fairy tale I do not know. But I will tell you another one. Once upon a time, there was a great, big, big forest. And in this forest, there lived a very little girl.
Now I've seen everything.
Inspector Stevens, do you know Mademoiselle Anne, Anne Shepherd?
Well, hello, little girl.
Hello. You were telling me a fairy tale.
I heard him. Would you do me a favor and leave me alone with Mr. Poirot for a little while?
All right. If he promises to finish the story.
I promise.
Bye. Don't forget your promise.
Well, Poirot... There doesn't seem to be any trouble about this one.
No. The coroner, he has ascertained the cause of death?
No question about that. He died from a fall out of his bedroom window onto those jagged rocks while you and Miss Shepherd and Mr. Redfield were down here in this room.
Are you quite certain, my friend?
You told me neither of them left the room.
Well, Mademoiselle left to bring some wine, but she did not have sufficient time to run up 3 flights of stairs.
And he was wearing a wristwatch, which was pretty well smashed up. The hands had stopped at 9:15. There's a medicine bottle and a spoon on the floor near the window. Now, what I figure is that he must have felt sick, got up, tried to get the medicine, and he fell out of the French windows.
Perhaps.
Yeah. What do you mean, perhaps?
Me? I have an idea it was no accident.
You mean you...
Yes, my friend. Murder.
What? Murder?
A particularly vicious and carefully planned murder.
Do you know who did it?
I think so.
Well, what are we waiting for, Poirot? Let's get going.
Gently, my friend, gently. I think it was murder. I even think I know how it was done. But alas, I could not prove it. The murderers would get clear away in a court of law.
You mean you're going to let them get away with it?
No, that I will most certainly not allow. But we must annoy them, Stephen.
That's the first time I've ever heard of annoying murderers. I generally arrest them.
I do not like murderers, my friend. And when we arrest these, we will make certain they are not set free. The little gray cells, Stevens. The little gray cells have found a way.
What do you mean?
Murder breeds murder, my friend. And a murderer always repeats. If he poisons once, he poisons again. If he stabs once, he stabs again. If there is an accident once, there is an accident again.
What are you going to do about it?
Me? I shall help to create an accident. I am going to telephone a lawyer.
Now that we are all together, I think that we can proceed with the reading of the will. As the late Mr. Shepherd's attorney, I am the trustee of the estate. I, James B. Shepherd, being of sound mind and body, do hereby. I believe that we can skip all that. All my property, both real and personal, I leave to my adopted daughter, Anne Mary Shepherd, to be held in trust for her until she attains the age of 21. To my loving niece, Elaine Shepherd, I bequeath the sum of $2,000.
Some water, please. It appears Mademoiselle Shepherd has fainted.
What about it? What happened? Will you stop shaking and tell me?
Uncle James left everything. Left it all to Anne.
What?
All of it.
I don't believe it.
True. We were all there. McBride read it to us.
But it's impossible. Didn't he even mention you?
Yes. He left me $2,000.
$2,000. That's good. That's very good. What are we going to do with $2,000?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, Derek, it's all gone wrong. I knew it when I knew it. I'm sorry we ever started. We never should have done it.
Hey, wait a minute. I think I have an idea. Sure, that's the solution. It's easy.
What?
If you'd only stop and think, you'd see the way it has to be.
Derek, I don't know what you're talking about.
Who inherited the money, Elaine?
Why, Anne of us. No. No, Derek.
I say yes.
Derek, you mustn't. Listen to me. Remember what you said about planning things? The people who didn't think things out made mistakes.
Never mind that. I know what I'm doing.
No, no, Derek. We planned something. Thought it all out. Look what happened. Even if we do something to Anne, I still won't get the money.
Don't be a fool. You have to get it. You're the only living relative. Now, listen, Elaine. Inspector Stevens has gone back to New York. We're perfectly safe.
I won't help you do anything to Anne.
What makes you so soft about Anne all of a sudden? A bride who doesn't even belong to your family. Where does she come in for anything?
Oh, Derek, I'm frightened. I won't do this with you.
Oh, yes, you will. That's one thing I'm sure of now. We're together, Elaine. Together for life. Don't forget, you were with me on one murder. And you're going to be with me on another.
Come in.
Mademoiselle, I have come to say goodbye. My train leaves within 10 minutes.
Oh, yes. This has been so dreadful, I hardly know what to say to you. Such a terrible accident. If you'll send me your bill...
No, mademoiselle. You owe me nothing.
That's very kind of you. Of course, now I'm afraid I shall have to get used to economizing.
Mademoiselle, before I go, is there anything you would like to tell me?
Tell you? Wait. No, I can't think of anything.
You are no longer afraid of Monsieur Redfield?
Tell you the truth, I've had so many things to think about, I haven't even given Derek... Well, he hasn't entered my mind.
What are your plans?
What?
Do you intend to stay on here with Mademoiselle Anne?
What? I hadn't considered it. I don't know.
She is a very charming child. I spoke to her this morning and told her the truth about Monsieur Shepherd. She is very sad. I think you should see that she is helped.
Oh, I intend to. I'll do everything in my power.
I am sure you will, Mademoiselle. Au revoir.
Much more, Elaine.
Oh, you've got to grow up to be big and strong. Remember, I promised you ice cream.
Don't think I'd like it now. Can't we play Indians?
I didn't know little girls played Indians.
I didn't make it up. Roy taught me. You know Roy, Uncle Derek?
No.
Do so. He's a boy who lives in a big house down the road. See, this is the way we play. I run away and hide.
Anne. Bless that brat.
You're frightened. Anne, dear. Come back.
Where did she go?
Here I am. See, I'm very good at it. Sometimes even Roy can't find him. He's a scout.
Anne, I don't want you to do that again.
Yes, you might get hurt. There might be some bad men in the woods.
Oh, pooh.
Come here, Anne.
But you're so near the edge.
I said come here.
No, I don't want to.
Anne, did you hear me?
Yes, but I don't like you. I'm going to run away and hide.
You're not going to run anywhere. There, I've got you. Mr. Perrault. So you didn't take the train?
As you see. I am afraid that woods and flowers do not agree with me. I must have the fever of the hay.
Cut it out.
Pardon?
That means stop trying to fool us. You're a little cleverer than I thought.
A little? Oh, monsieur, for the sake of courtesy, let us say a great deal, eh? Come here, Anne.
Go!
Just how clever are you, Perrault? Hold still, Anne.
Ah, monsieur, really. Such a transparent little plan, eh? You send a charming young lady to my apartment with a very sad tale. She is so distraught. I must protect her from this terrible fiancé. And everything prepared for me. even to the poisoned meat. This meat so strongly dosed and evil-smelling that not even a starving dog would have eaten it, monsieur. So I say to myself, these people must have a reason for wishing Hercule Poirot at Manhattan. What is it? And that evening I find out. You have murdered Monsieur Shepherd.
I told you.
Is that all you have to say, Perrault?
And you, mademoiselle, the window shade. Did you really believe that such an old, old trick would deceive Hercule Poirot? You become hysterical and you need light. Oh, mademoiselle, you asked me to raise the shade, and then the so convenient telephone call.
So what? You can't prove we murdered anyone. We were right there with you when Shepherd died.
Ah, no, monsieur. Monsieur Shepherd did not die at 9:15. You killed him earlier, much earlier, before dinner, in fact, while I was bathing. That is the only possible time. It is easy to set the hands of his watch. Then you came over and played your little comedy with me.
Oh, you're crazy. You heard him playing his Victrola as well as we did.
I heard the Victrola, monsieur.
Then if he was dead, who started it?
That, monsieur, is what makes me to burn. I started it myself when Mademoiselle Elaine asked me to press the button for the servants. After making so much bother about their being out, you simply had the wire set for that button to start the record automatically in Monsieur Shepherd's bedroom. That was supposed to prove he was alive. You removed the wires last night.
You have it all figured out. But you've overlooked one thing.
I think not. It is not Hercule Poirot who makes mistakes.
But you made one this time. This is the last bit of detecting you'll ever do because you're going over the cliff.
No, Derek, no.
Here, hold the kid for me.
Monsieur, you are even more stupid than I thought.
Yeah, this is perfect. Everyone knows the kid like you. You went walking together and fell over the cliff. Those shoes of yours weren't made for the country. Another accident.
I think not. Give me the chance, mademoiselle.
This is it.
All right, Inspector. I believe you've heard enough.
There we are, Redfield. You haven't a chance.
Why, you little smart aleck. You'd never have proved a thing if the will hadn't left all that money to that brat. You couldn't have proved it.
Precisely, monsieur. That is why I induced the lawyer to read a false will. The real one left everything to Mademoiselle Elaine.
Be sure to listen again at the same time next week when Agatha Christie, America's favorite mystery writer, brings you her favorite detective, Hercule Poirot, starring Harold Huber in The Book and the Corpse. Agatha Christie's Poirot is directed by Carl Eastman. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Hercule Poirot, on Tuned to Yesterday, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from July 19, 1945. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, if you were a radio listener in 1945, it would have been a Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, where The Adventures of Mr. and Mrs. North was on the air. And if you were to stay and listen, you'd be joined by 15.5 million listeners to this next broadcast called Honey Jones.
Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Joseph Curtin and Alice Frost. All sorts of people are going around making all sorts of surveys about the habits of the American male and female. If they ever questioned Pam and Jerry North, they'd learn something that would make their hair stand on end. For instance, in the morning, Jerry prefers regaining consciousness by degrees. But Pam, on the other hand... Hold on to your pencil, Dr. Kinsey. Pam is as gay, fresh, and romantic as a lark.
I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful guy. Da-da-da.
Pamela, you are not Mary Martin, and I am not Ezio Pinza. So will you do me a favor? Don't be so gay until I've had my first cup of coffee.
Anything, my sweet. Oh, I'm sorry. You're male, dear. Now drink your coffee. I'm in love.
Pam, please. Here's a letter for you. Maybe you'd like to read it, dear, while I have my coffee.
Oh, thank you. Dear Mrs. North, you don't know me, but I'm the type of woman who believes in calling a spade a spade. And our Jerry...
Who's it from, dear?
My mother, you beast.
What would I say?
Oh, nothing. Jerem met me at the Rumba Taxi Dance Hall, where I'm trying to make an honest buck as a dime a dance hostess. After 20 cents worth with Jerry, I know it's love and it's mutual.
What's your mother write, dear?
She's taken up the rumba, you... I
think you and I ought to sit down and discuss it like civilized people so that we can dispense with Jerry to our mutual satisfaction. Yours sincerely, Honey Jones. Well?
Well, let me see the letter.
Oh, no, you don't.
Where are you going?
Do I ask you where you've been when you tell me you're working late at the office?
Pam, where are you going?
I may be going home to Mother.
Pam, come back here. Is that you, darling?
No, it's me, sweetheart. Oh. Your missus just took the elevator. I'm glad for the chance of having you all to myself.
Who are you?
Tony Jones. You recognize the name?
No, and what do you mean coming
in? Does honey mean anything to you?
I never touch the stuff.
What you call honey stuff, wise guy? She's my wife.
Listen, my name is Jerry...
North. N-O-R-T-H. I know. It's bad enough my wife working in a taxi dance hall. But I ain't going to stand for customers getting fresh with her. That I ain't going to stand for.
I tell you, Mr. Jones, I've never...
Shut up and listen. If I find out that you've been seeing her again, I'll kill you with my own bare hands. Now stand up.
What for?
Because I want to knock you down.
Are you Honey Jones?
That's the name on the door, isn't it?
Your name's going to be mud when I get through with you.
Oh, you must be Mrs. North. Won't you come in, dear?
Don't you dear me, you Jezebel.
The name's Honey. Come on in. Oh, I'm kind of disappointed that Jerry didn't come along with you.
Why? So you could both laugh in my face?
Oh, you've been seeing too many movies. Listen, why don't you call him up and tell him to come over? So we can talk it over cozy-like.
Oh, no. After all he's done, seeing you when he says he's working late.
Now, wait, Mrs. North. I might as well tell you. Your husband and I, we don't mean a thing to each other. It's all a joke.
Oh, that's a likely story.
Honest. I've been writing a book about my experiences. It's a great book.
Oh, that's an old line if I ever heard one. Come up and see my manuscript sometime.
That's the truth, Mrs. North. I've been trying to see Mr. North at his office, but I couldn't get past his secretary.
Oh.
That's why I wrote you that letter. I was sure it would bring you and Mr. North a running. Then I'd be able to give him my manuscript. It's a wonderful story, all about my experiences. And... wait, I got it right here in my desk. It was right here.
Oh, it was.
I tell you, it was. I'm sure I had it. I'm sure. Gone. Someone's stolen it. Oh, what am I going to do?
Well, that's easy. Make up another story.
Oh, you fool. Get out of here. I've got to find out who took it.
Stop acting with me, honey.
Does this convince you that I'm not acting, Mrs. North?
You can put away that gun, honey. I'm going. Taxi! Taxi!
Hop in, lady. Where to?
Home.
All right. How many guesses do I get?
Maybe she's telling the truth.
Who?
And then... well, go ahead. What are you standing here for? Take me home. No, hold it.
Now, what's the matter?
That's my husband. He's going into the building. Oh, take me away from here.
Well, will you tell me for the last time where your home is?
Who said anything about taking me home? Take me to police headquarters.
No, Mrs. North, don't carry on so.
Well, why shouldn't I, Mullins? I've every right to. Going into her building and in broad daylight.
Well, no, there might be a very simple explanation to it, Mrs. North.
Yes, of course there is. He's going up there to see Honey. Mullins, where have I failed as a wife? You tell me.
Oh, you haven't, Mrs. North. You've been a sweet, devoted help.
Oh, dear,
Mrs. North, please don't carry on. I'm...
sure, it's easy for you to say there. You're not in love with Jerry.
Here, now, take a sip of this coffee while I answer the telephone. Sergeant Mullins, homicide.
Mullins, this is Jerry North.
Oh, Mr. North. It's your husband, Mrs. North.
Oh, let me at that
Hold
phone.
On, no, Mrs. North. You'll get your chance. Well, Mr. North, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. A fine little woman like Mrs. North, you won't get
about her. Mullins, listen to me. I'm over at a girl's house. Her name's Honey Jones.
Oh, have you no shame, man?
Mullins, I'm trying to tell you something.
You sure got a lot of explaining to do, Mr. North. Honey Jones, indeed.
That's the name, Mullins. Get over here as fast as you can. She's been shot to death.
Oh!
That's all there is to tell, Mullins. After that gorilla Tony slugged me, I wanted to find out what it was all about. I looked up Honey's name, came here, and found her lying across a bed.
Tell us the truth, Jerry. We'll stick by you. I'm a woman, the woman you once loved. I'll forgive you.
Oh, for goodness sake, Pam, stop behaving like Joan Crawford.
Well, it all seems to tie together with what you told us about that book business, Mrs. North.
Oh, I hope for Jerry's sake that you're right, Mullins.
Ah, Mrs. North, I might as well tell you now. Mr. North is a darling boy, and so far as I'm concerned, he's not under suspicion at all.
Oh, Jerry, darling, I'm so happy for you.
Now she's Betty Davis.
Now, if this Tony fellow was out avenging his wife's dubious honor, I wonder where we could find her men friends.
The Rumba Taxi Dance Hall.
Mullins, if I could get a job as a hostess at the Rumba Dance Palace, I might be able to get some information from the other girls as to where we could find Honey's husband.
I absolutely forbid it. Let the police worry about the murderer.
Ah, 10 cents a dance, big boy. Come on, handsome. Buy the little girl a fistful of tickets.
Now, Pam.
Good idea, Mrs. North.
I absolutely forbid my wife to enter one of those places.
Ah, forget your wife, big boy. You're talking to Cuddles now. She'll make you forget.
Not bad, Cuddles. Not bad. Turn around again.
Well, do I get the job, Mr. Snark?
The girls all call me Eric. Hey, you fill out that evening gown pretty good.
Thank you, kind sir.
Come here, baby. Let's try a little dance together.
There's no music.
Who needs it? We can make beautiful music together.
Oh, you fresh...
Oh, the little girl is blushing. Well, you'll loosen up later. Now, look, baby, let me give you a couple of pointers. First of all, keep your eyes and ears open.
What do you mean?
When a guy's dancing with you, just let him talk. And remember what he says.
What guy?
Any guy, Cuddles. You never know what you can learn about a guy. What's the old expression? Knowledge is power?
I think I understand, Eric.
You and I'll get along, baby. Feel free to come into my office anytime and we can talk.
I'll do that little thing. Honey said you were a regular guy.
Honey? What do you know about Honey?
Let go of my arm. You hurt me. What's the matter with you?
So you're a friend of Honey's, huh? Well, I shouldn't hold that against you.
What does she do?
Nothing. But she ain't the type of girl I like working in my place. I fired her.
Well, that's funny. I saw her this morning and she said she was coming to work tonight.
She was here tonight.
She was here tonight?
Sure. She left a few minutes before you came in.
Well, I think I better be getting out on the floor.
Wait a minute. I ain't letting you go yet.
What's the matter? What did I do?
You didn't do nothing. I just want you to have a drink.
Oh.
I keep my good stuff under lock and key.
I see. What's that?
Scotch.
No, that blue-covered thing.
It's nothing.
Looks like a book somebody's been writing. You a writer, Eric?
Have your drink.
Some of my best friends are writers.
Good luck, Cuddles.
Honey once told me she was writing.
Bring it down and get out of here.
Well, you only live once.
Yeah. Just remember that, Cuddles. Just remember that.
Mullins, I can't stand it. Look at those men ogling her.
Take it easy, Mr. North. Mrs. North's doing fine.
Yeah.
I've got a hunch we'll find the murderer here yet. This is easier than finding out things by setting the suspects up against a wall. At least we know now where Honey's manuscript is.
Well, why don't we arrest this Eric character and get it over with? He lied when he told Pam Honey was here tonight.
Be patient. We will, Mr. North.
I really believe you're enjoying this, Mullins.
Oh, now don't be silly, Mr. North. It's all in the light of duty. And tell what will turn up. My, what lovely girl.
Huh?
That little one with a black dress, she's built.
Listen, brother, she happens to...
My friend here don't like this place. He wants to leave.
Well, I can hardly blame him. He's the quiet type, like myself. This is the first time I've been up here. It's a way of keeping out of the rain.
Haven't I seen you someplace before, Mr.?
Hornswigger is the name.
Hornswigger.
It's not very likely you have seen me before, unless, of course, you've been in Connecticut, and that's where I'm from.
Yes,
sir. Oh, dear me.
What's the matter, Miss Hornswigger?
Nothing.
Well, I was wondering. You said, oh, dear me.
Well, I was just looking the girls over.
You see anyone you like?
And not tonight.
There was a beauty over here a couple of nights ago, about 5'2", with eyes of blue and golden hair the color of honey. As a matter of fact, her name was Honey. You'd like her.
Yes, yes, I know. But where is she tonight?
Oh, you know her.
Well, I danced with her once. A charming girl.
I thought you said you were never up here before.
Oh, dear me, did I say that? Excuse me, gentlemen. I'm going over to the bar and have a drink.
What do you think, Mullins?
I think he's worth investigating, Mr. North.
Hello, Mullins. Have you found out anything yet?
Well, not about the murder, Mrs. North, but you see the man going over to the bar? His name's Hornswinger. Get him to dance with you. Find out anything you can.
Well, I'll try, Mullins.
I absolutely forbid it.
I'd dance with him myself if I had the figure. Now, let's see if the broad man.
Hiya, handsome.
Go away, little girl. I'm not interested in dancing.
Oh, come on, handsome. Be a little sociable.
Will you please stop bothering me?
Oh, you're the frigid kind, aren't you? That ain't the way Honey said you were.
What? Oh. Shall we dance?
Delighted.
What do you know about Honey?
I'm only her best friend. That's what I know about Honey. Say, you dance divine.
Your name, miss?
They call me Cuddles. Because I like to cuddle up when I dance. Like this. You like it?
Dear me.
Have you seen Honey lately?
No, I haven't.
Were you expecting her up here?
No, not particularly. That is, I was.
She won't be here tonight, you know. You don't seem surprised.
Other fish in the sea, you know.
Thank you, sir. Still, Honey was in a class by herself.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, she wasn't like us girls. She was more the intellectual type. Why, do you know she even wrote a book? Mr. Hornswigger, don't hold me so tight. You're hurting me.
Oh, dear, I am sorry. What do you know about the book?
What do I know about it? What does Sears know about robots? I practically helped her with it.
Oh, now, listen to me, my dear. I'd pay a lot of money to get a hold of that manuscript.
Say, you are a cultured type man, ain't you? But you don't have to worry no more, Mrs. Hornswigger. She can't blackmail you no more. You know why? Because someone's killed her.
Huh?
Careful, Mr. Hornswigger. You stepped on my toes.
Oh, dear me, what were you saying?
I was saying that she...
Never mind. I heard you. When did it happen?
It happened this morning. You ought to know.
I don't feel like dancing anymore, Cuddles. Will you excuse me?
I wouldn't try to leave this place if I were you, Mr. Hornswigger. That gentleman over there is my husband, and the other one is from the police.
Oh, dear me, I think I'm going to... I'm going to race.
Oh, you can't do that. Jerry! Mullins!
What's the matter, Pam?
Jerry, he fainted right in my arms. I told him about Honey's being murdered.
Good girl.
Yeah, put his arm around me.
Right.
Take him into the lounge.
Come along now, Mr. Hornswigger. I'm surprised.
Jerry, I think Mr. Hornswigger could have done it. Honey was blackmailing him.
Well, come on, let's tell Mullins. And then I'm getting you out of here.
Oh, Jerry, not yet. Maybe it wasn't Mr. Hornswigger at all.
But you just said that...
Well, I know, but her husband could have done it because he's jealous. Eric could have done it because he just looks mean. And then there's Mr. Hornswigger.
Here's the lounge. Mullins.
Jerry, look.
He's unconscious.
And Mr. Hornswigger's gone. Are you all right, Mullins?
Oh, of course I'm not all right. What a deceitful little man. Wait till I get my hands on him.
What happened, Mullins?
I laid him down at the couch and turned him back to get him a glass of water, and he must have slugged me. Oh, the shame of a little runt like that.
Hey, Mullins, where are you going?
Outside. I'm going to find out if anyone saw me.
Oh, poor Mullins. Jerry, look. The window's open.
There's a ledge running all around the building.
Let's see where it leads to, darling. It may lead us to the murderer.
It's going to lead us into trouble.
Hey, Pam, get off that ledge.
Jerry, there's a window about 10 feet to the right of me.
Oh, all right, steady now. I'll go with you.
Makes me dizzy if I look down.
For goodness sake, don't look. Walk slowly and hug the side of the building. The way you hug your dance customers all night.
This is no time for you to be jealous. Oh, be quiet, darling. Come into the window. Maybe somebody in that room. Jerry, it's Eric's office.
And there is somebody in there. There's Mr. Hornswigger stretched out on the rug.
You don't think he's dead, Jerry?
I think we'll be if we stay on this ledge much longer. Let's see if this window will open. Good. Hop in, Pam.
Easy, Jerry.
There's blood on Mr. Hornsworth's head.
He's still breathing.
What's the idea of coming into my office,
Eric.
Who are you, mister?
I'll tell you who I am.
He's a customer, Eric.
My office is off limits to customers. Now beat it.
Not until we call the police. There's a telephone on his desk, Pam.
I thought the name was Cuddles.
That's enough of that. She's my wife, Mr. Snark, and my name's North.
I thought there was something phony about you, Cuddles. Who are you, and what do you want?
We don't want very much, Mr. Snark. All we want is to find out who murdered Honey and why you did it.
Oh, ain't you the cute one?
Her manuscript is in that desk, Jerry.
Well, we'll take a little look.
No, you won't, mister. Not even a peek. I ain't running no circulating library. But I am going to turn this office into a shooting gallery if you don't stand where you are.
Careful, he's got a gun.
I'm hardly breathing.
I can put a stop to that, too. Who's that other guy that was with you, mister?
That's the police.
The police? You really fouled me up. Now I lose my license. All right, you can relax, Nord. I'm putting the gun away. I thought I could keep it quiet, but it's too late now. You can get on that phone and call the police.
You mean you're confessing?
What kind of a jerk do you take me for? I didn't do it.
You stole her manuscript from her.
Sure, I wanted to read it. I find out she's running a little blackmail racket on the side. I told her if she didn't cut it out, I'd mess her up real good. I got to protect my customers.
You've got a novel way of protecting your customers, Mr. Snark.
Oh, you mean Hornswick?
Uh-huh.
Well, what would you do, Mr. North, if some wild-eyed little jerk comes jumping through your window and accuses you of blackmailing him? Who's there?
It must be Sergeant Mullins. Come in, Mullins.
Tony.
My glad to see you.
Who is he, Joe?
Honey's husband. He's the one who hit me.
I remember when I was in high school, Eric, we used to sing a song that was something about the punishment fitting the crime. You played around with Honey, Mr. North, so I hit you. But you, Eric, you murdered her. So what you're getting is going to fit the crime perfect.
You're crazy, Tony. I didn't do it. Put down that gun.
Stop him, Jerry.
Listen, Tony.
Now you listen, Mr. North. Listen to the noise a gun makes when it kills a rat.
What's going on here?
Get up, Hornswagger. You're just in time to see a man shot to death.
I didn't do it. I swear.
I know it. It's Snark who I'm giving it to.
Listen to reason, Tony.
Turn around and stand up against that wall.
Jerry, I can't bear it.
Tony, you're making a big mistake.
No, I'm not making a mistake. There's a bullet in Honey's chest. She's dead. And this is the gun that did it. And that's a rat who pulled the trigger.
Tony, I can't let an innocent man die. You say she was killed with that gun?
I was lying right next to her.
Oh, I did it, Tony.
Jerry! You didn't.
I'm sorry, Pam. She was a devil. I couldn't get her out of my blood. I couldn't stand the thought of anyone else having her.
I don't believe a word of it. You're stalling to save this jerk's life.
Am I? Well, look in the magazine of the gun. You'll see two bullets still in there. I couldn't know that unless I handled the gun.
Well, I'll see you in a second.
Get him, Eric! I got that gun!
Help! Help, Mullins!
That's better. Thanks, Mullins.
Oh, Jerry. For a moment, I almost believed you.
Believe what, Mrs. North?
Jerry confessed. Oh, but he didn't do it.
Good for him.
Thanks, Mr. North. Tony's your murderer, Sergeant.
He's a madman, Sergeant.
Hornswigger, so there you are, you little runt.
Oh, dear me, Sergeant, you must find it in your heart to forgive me for knocking you out. I was frightened. I acted on impulse.
Oh, Mullins, forget about him. Tony's your murderer.
No, I didn't do it. I tell you, Eric killed her, Sergeant. He tried to turn her into a blackmailer. Sure, I hated what Honey did working here in this creep joint. I was taking care of her men friends in my own way. At least she was mine part of the time. But I wouldn't see her at all if she was in jail on a blackmail rap.
That's where she belongs.
I tell you, no, Sergeant. She wasn't interested in making dough that way. She really had the writing bug.
He's right, Mullins. Honey wouldn't have gone to all the trouble to see me if she weren't serious about getting a manuscript published. Eric is the real blackmailer. He killed her for the manuscript.
I tell you, I was only taking it to read. She was the blackmailer.
He's a liar, Sergeant. Blackmail never entered that dear sweet girl's head. He has the book in his possession, I'm sure. I was willing to pay $10,000 to keep it out of print. He wouldn't take it. He wanted $20,000. He hit me when I insisted. Oh, dear me, my head.
Oh, you kids got it figured out real smart, haven't you? You got yourself the perfect patsy.
Well, you'll do until somebody better comes along. You're coming down to headquarters with me.
Oh, just a minute, Mullins. Mr. Hornswigger, you didn't approve of Honey's book, did you?
Well, of course I didn't, Mrs. North. It would have ruined me. I offered her money, but that didn't interest her. Recognition as a writer was much, much more important to her. I suspected, of course, that this Snark fellow had a copy of the manuscript and his motive was blackmail. So I was willing to pay him.
Well, that's clear to me.
Thank you, Mr. North.
Well, it's not clear to me. Mr. Hornswigger, when did you first learn that Honey was murdered?
Why, when you told me on the dance floor. Don't you remember?
What are you driving at, Mrs. North?
Only this, Mullins. He was willing to pay me for the original manuscript of that book before I told him that Honey was dead. Why should you do that, Mr. Hornswigger? Honey could still write another one. Mr. Hornswigger, you were interested in that manuscript because you knew that Honey couldn't write another one, because you knew that Honey was murdered before I told you. You killed her.
Oh, dear me. Do you realize what you're saying?
I think I do, Hornswigger.
Stay away from me. Help!
Oh, stop him!
I'll talk, you
lad. Help!
Let him go,
Tony.
Let him go. Well, Mr. Hornswigger, you're going to confess.
Yes, I did it. I did it. She wouldn't listen to reason. Hornswigger's an honored name in Connecticut. My reputation would have been ruined. I had to kill her.
How are you feeling this morning, darling?
The usual.
I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in
love. I told you I was feeling the usual. Will you cut it out at least until I've had my first cup of coffee?
Oh, did you have a hard night at the office?
Yes, I worked a long hours.
Oh, poor dear. By the way, when I hung your suit up this morning, darling, I found these tickets in your pocket.
Tickets?
Yes, from the Rue de la Paix dance hall.
Oh, really? I wonder how they could have gotten there.
I'll give you just 2 seconds to think up a good excuse.
Well, as a matter of fact... Oh, now, Pam, really, I was going to tell you about it.
Uh-huh.
Mullins asked me to go up with him. He wanted to do a little investigation about the blackmail business, and I helped him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I really didn't enjoy it a minute of it, Pam. You know how those hot, stuffy dance halls... Oh, it was quite a chore, those dark lights hitting my eyes.
Mr. and Mrs. North, on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from 1945. And that wraps up this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonier. Thanks for tuning in.